state legislators could decide to tighten rules on absentee voting in nursing homes. It's Wednesday, November 1st. This is Wisconsin Today. Good morning. I'm Mallory Chang, filling in for Alex Crow. Up, Governor Tony Evers is suing GOP lawmakers over their blocking of pay raises for employees of the Universities of Wisconsin. And state and federal officials say Rylander Auto Center discriminated against American Indian customers. They're now going to pay a huge settlement. Stay with us.
You tune in every weekday for your dose of local news on Wisconsin Today. You enjoy headlines with context as well as a longer story. This news is community supported. Join in with your gift at wpr.org/givewi today.
Wisconsin lawmakers are considering a bill that would tighten rules around how election officials could collect absentee ballots from nursing homes and other care facilities. The proposal would continue the practice of sending voting deputies to care facilities to help residents cast absentee ballots, but it would require residents' relatives to be notified. It would also remove a person from the voter rolls if they've been deemed not competent to vote. Representative Joel Kitchens, a Republican from Sturgeon Bay, said the proposal is about protecting vulnerable people.
Every session we work on bills to protect people from being exploited financially, but those protections should be extended to protect their rights during elections.
Advocates for elderly voters testified that they're concerned the changes could impede seniors' ability to vote privately and independently. Nursing home voting came under heightened scrutiny after the 2020 election, when former President Donald Trump falsely claimed that they were sites of mass absentee voter fraud. A Dane County judge heard arguments in a lawsuit that seeks to expand absentee voting in Wisconsin. As Sarah Lear reports, Republican lawmakers are joining the Wisconsin Elections Commission in asking for the suit to be dismissed.
Progressives sued this summer to challenge absentee voting limitations in the closely fought state. That includes a ban on ballot drop boxes that went into effect last year following a Wisconsin Supreme Court decision. Plaintiff's attorney David Fox says such restrictions violate Wisconsin's constitution.
A burden on absentee voting makes it harder for people to vote. It's clearly a burden on the right to vote.
The suit also challenges the state's deadline for fixing errors on absentee ballot envelopes, which is 8 p.m. on Election Day. And it argues that requiring a witness to certify such ballots is burdensome. The suit could eventually make its way to the state's highest court, which recently flipped to liberal control. Sarah Lear, Wisconsin Public Radio.
Governor Tony Evers is suing Republican state lawmakers for blocking raises for employees of the Universities of Wisconsin. The lawsuit argues the Republican-controlled Joint Committee on Employee Relations violated the state constitution last month when it refused to authorize UW raises included in the state budget in July. Republican Assembly Speaker Robin Voss, who co-chairs the committee, is blocking the raises until UW campuses eliminate diversity, equity, and inclusion programs. Evers says that's not legal.
When the Republicans decided that 35,000 people that work for the UW system shouldn't get a raise without having any legislation that gives them that authority, that's just bullshit.
In a statement responding to the lawsuit, Voss said the governor's lawsuit threatens to reverse raises for other state employees that were approved by the committee. Wisconsin Public Radio is a service of the University of Wisconsin-Madison. The legislature's Finance Committee has approved a settlement reached with a Rylander Auto Group that discriminated against American Indian customers. Daniel Kading has more.
The Federal Trade Commission and Wisconsin Department of Justice reached a $1.1 million deal last week with Rylander Auto Center, which operates several dealerships. Attorneys say former and current owners added hundreds or thousands of dollars in junk fees on vehicle purchases. They also charged American Indian customers higher lending and interest rates. Matthew Campbell with the Native American Rights Fund says Indigenous people often face obstacles like access to transportation.
When it's hard to travel to negotiate these types of things, it's rife for fraud and predatory practice.
The settlement will be used to provide consumer relief. It will also set up a fair lending program. Current owners, Rylander Auto Group, say they dispute the allegations and admitted no wrongdoing under the deal. Danielle Kading, Wisconsin Public Radio.
Bar culture is big in Wisconsin, and at every establishment, a bartender is always at the heart of any watering hole. But for most of history, it was mostly a male-dominated profession. Coming up in today's Wisconsin Life, we'll hear about some Wisconsin women who paved the way behind the bar. Stay with us.
If you've never given before, but you look forward to listening to WPR every day, that's a sign it's time to donate. It means that WPR is important to you, and you are important to us. We're listener-supported radio, which means we count on money from people like you to make the programs possible. Make your first ever contribution today at WPR.org. Thank you.
It's time for Wisconsin Life. Here's producer Maureen McCollum with a story about some memorable bartenders.
Wisconsin has one of the highest concentrations of bartenders in the country, with more than 24,000 people working behind a bar. And a good percentage of them are women. But as writer Patty C. tells us, that hasn't always been the case.
Few of us bar lovers realize it took until 1970 for women to legally tend bar in major U.S. cities. The only exception was if they were the wives or daughters of male owners. Over four centuries ago, British pubs were often run by women. In the New World, Puritan-influenced blue laws were enacted to protect ladies from taverns full of drunken men fighting with swords and guns, not to mention their vulgar language, gambling, and overflowing spittoons. History professor Madeline Powers, author of Faces Along the Bar, claimed that drinking establishments offered alternative entrances for Victorian-era women so they didn't have to pass through the front bar room, which was still undisputed male territory. In later eras, saloons filled with women often meant money was made the old-fashioned way. I'm not talking about Wisconsin's favorite mixed drink. After World War II, registered nurse Joyce Connolly and her Navy pilot husband Hank planned to open a grocery store in western Wisconsin. Instead, in 1950, the couple bought a building and transformed it into Glenlock Bar on Chippewa Falls' north side. Joyce was 7 months pregnant, and the couple had 3 and 5-year-old daughters. Hank did the heavy lifting in the bar, replacing kegs from the ice house down the road, while Joyce says, "I was behind the bar all the time." She put their children to bed before the nightly rush. This beer bar catered to 18 to 20-year-olds. Sometimes parents came in to check out the spot kids flocked to for Leinenkugels, hot beefs, and French fries, the entire menu. "Our customers were wonderful," Joyce says. She is 98 now and continues to live in Chippewa Falls. "When I was a kid in the late 1970s, my family frequented our neighborhood tavern below Holy Ghost Hill in Chippewa Falls. Francis Tootie Wilson bought the Plunkett Inn and changed its name to Tootie's. She was a fixture there." Another bar owner once challenged Tootie to a wrestling match in a kiddie pool filled with pudding. I hope photos of that event still exist somewhere. Sunday afternoons, my dad often drove our family 60 minutes to Jump River Rose's Deer Farm and Supper Club, where Rose Wawrzyniak let customers pet her tamed fawn inside her tavern. One patron remembered Rosie as a lady who could smoke a cigar, tend a bar, milk cows, go out logging or hunting, and then listen to your troubles over a beer. She'd also spent time as a bull rider and stock car driver, and later ran for Russ County Sheriff. Paramount Pictures paid Rosie in advance for a film based on her life. Because of people like Joyce, Tootie, Rosie, and many others, today women make up 61% of all bartenders in the U.S., though they still don't purchase bars as often as men. Back in the 1950s, Glenlock co-owner Joyce Connolly often fretted when patrons nicknamed her tavern Hank's. She recently joked, "All the work I did and they never called it Joyce's.
Patty C. is a writer from Lake Halley, Wisconsin. Wisconsin Life is a co-production of Wisconsin Public Radio and PBS Wisconsin in partnership with Wisconsin Humanities. Additional support comes from Lowell and Mary Peterson of Appleton. Find more Wisconsin Life at wisconsinlife.org and on Facebook and Instagram. The technical producer for this story was Sarah Hopeful. I'm Maureen McCollum.
Thanks for joining us for Wisconsin Today. I'm your host, Mallory Chang. Our producers were myself and John Davis. Catch us every weekday morning wherever you get your podcasts. We'll talk to you again tomorrow.